In terms of how the committee is going to conduct its business within a very tired schedule. The second issue that we agreed on yesterday was that after receiving 25, now 26, 27, written submission, honorable members will try to utilize the time between yesterday and now to go through those submissions. But knowing that we all have very serious and congested programs, it will not be possible for all of us to go through those submissions word by word, page by page. We then requested our researcher, Kalalani, sitting in front of me, to do a summary of the submissions and tease out issues that he thinks the committee should be concerned about from each and every organization or individual that has made a written submission. It will be out of this summary that this other committee will be in a better position to decide which ones do we think we need to process through oral representation if there's a need for such a presentation. The issues that were also raised yesterday, which were issues that you thought the chairperson should actually take forward to get more clarity about the scope and mandate of this committee, whether this green paper, as tabled in the House, would have an evolutionary process that will lead us into having a white paper. Depending on the response on that question, we will be in a better position to understand how much time that the committee needs. I must say, I've consulted both the presidency and the deputy speaker. The clarity is not the one that seeks to say we need to constitute a white paper stage. This comment that we have received, together with our own comment or proposal, will constitute or compose a report that Parliament will then take into consideration and the executive through the presidency will then use a part and parcel of information to draft, or not to draft, but to finalize the conceptualization of the planning commission itself and the planning unit in the presidency. So I thought I should just give you a brief report back on this matter. If there is no further clarity on this question, I would therefore request that we take the presentation from the reporter, Kalalani, in terms of the submissions in the summary. Obviously, you might not have covered everything that would have loved to see, but those issues that you might have left out in terms of every submission, honorable members are free to raise those issues as part the information that we may need to process as a committee. I am first here and see if there's any clarity or else, or otherwise we allow fellow learning to make a presentation.
Just a listen for the briefing. Probably, I guess it would be highly assisted if in your consultation there's the deadlines are as tight as you said next week some final submission had to be done. Or are we, is it possible maybe for some little bit of thoroughness to push until the first week of protocol, until the beginning of November, if you can actually guide us in that, because that will also assist after listening to the presentation with regard to what minimum list of organizations based on what criteria we think will actually sort of call for.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. I did raise this matter of the tight prop in the short period within which this committee has to produce a report. And that it might not be practical or feasible given the fact that we might have to take oral presentation. Because this matter has arisen quite a number of interests in the public domain. And as Parliament, we cannot be seen to be taking shortcuts on this particular issue. And the response was that as long as we would not want to go beyond the second week of November, there's still a space for Parliament to can receive the report, meaning that somewhere between the 1st of November and the 13th or the 15th, in particular, in the 13th of November, before that time, we should actually come back and give a report. I did indicate that our wish and my wish in particular would have been that we should actually present a report by next week, Thursday, but that will depend on the submissions that we have received and the quality of the report that we need to produce, but also the intensity of the consultation that we may be bound to follow. So in terms of your question, Honorable Ngubeni, the House understands that we may not be able to finalize the report next week. Honorable Singh?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Minister, welcome. I think I made this point before, and maybe I would suggest that we do an interim report, how far we've gone, and we say what we've done. We had a briefing from the Minister, we received a written representation, we are in the process of hearing from various parties, and we haven't concluded, and we request more time. Because, you know, if you just read it like in the order paper yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before, it's kind of a poor reflection on this committee that's sitting. What's wrong with you guys? You want to, we gave you this date now, the order paper just says you want 29th October. And then, so we give some kind of reply without committing us to any of the substantive issues, but just to say this is what we have done. So they know we are doing something.
I don't think there's any problem with that. Mm-hmm. Can we? Okay.
Well, I understand what I was saying to be saying. By the end of next week, we do a progress report. Would that be the minute?
Yeah. All right. Minister, do you have anything to say? I didn't welcome you. I'm so used to you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't need a welcome. Perhaps I just want to plead in mitigation at this stage. You know, establishing an institution in two parts will take a pretty long time. I think that once we pass sort of early November, you're kind of into the 2010 zone. It's going to be very hard to advertise for either staff or commissioners in the city season around Christmas. So you basically have to start in earnest in January. And that could probably mean that we lose out effectively this fiscal year. I mean, it's quite important to get that in, because when we first started raising this, the press was saying they're not serious about it. But I think members sitting here would all be aware of just how difficult it becomes at this time of the year. And so, you know, we would have lost the first year of government before you can actually convene the commission, and that'll have an impact. But, you know, 2 weeks are not going to be material in the context, really. But I think we understand, the pleading I make is that once you get into November, then you're effectively talking second week of January to be earnest about it. It's just how the communication cycles can work. I mean, if I could just also, Chair, go back to something else you said. What we are hoping for is that once the Green Paper is considered in the parliamentary context, then we could roll out, just because we'll come back to issues of detail and things like that. When I say we, I mean the LNP folks in the Green Paper. So, you know, certainly from the side of the presidency, we've not been envisaging taking on view the issues raised in the report, and then drafting a white paper and going through the whole cycle again. We kind of need a premise of trust that we will take account of many, many issues that we haven't considered earlier. Be willing to commit to a public or the publishing of a reconsidered position.
I think this is a matter that before we move to the effect, and probably be clear on it, because it's a matter that's going to affect processes, time frame, intensity of our work, so that we're geared in line with a workable process that we can deal with. I'm not sure if, I think at a certain point in time, the committee would have to take it seriously. I don't understand if the minister is saying, I haven't listened to him about his fears about the first weeks of November. I don't have a sense of what is his proposal, Senator. So that as we engage with the reasons why we think the first 2 weeks of September, of November, we should also have in mind what he is proposing, so that as we discuss, check if there's a possible mitigation, even between those. And if there's no mediation possibility, then we say what. But I'd be more comfortable to hear from the minister with regard to this.
Chair, can I just start by indicating, I'm just in court, that's the 10 days for meeting, so I apologize for that. But let me explain, I mean, let me try and respond to some of the various questions. No. Next week takes us to the 30th of October. It doesn't look like the committee is going to be ready. So if you then said that it were around the 5th or 6th of November, what I'm saying is, once the committee report is tabled, published in the ATC, it then becomes the views of Parliament, and as the executive will be bound to take account of that. We will then go into the cabinet process and advise cabinet of how Parliament received this, of the amendments the Parliament seeks for the process. A process then in cabinet of agreement. And once that agreement is done, we'd like to believe that we can proceed. The key issue is the issue of trust, that we would feel sufficiently accountable to the ad hoc committee acting on behalf of Parliament without having to come back for another stage of formal white paper, which you get to after the budget, which pushes you further back. So if there is that, I'm saying, ostensibly we should be in a position to publish once cabinet is considered, make it available, saying that we've considered the views, these are the issues we've taken account of, and if there needs to be a special hearing on this matter, which is why it would be good if it could be before Parliament rises and the ideas are still fresh, if it were possible to then say, these are the issues that are easy to accommodate and these issues are hard, so that we're on the same wavelength in dealing with these matters. But that would presumably be a signal for us to continue, right? But that takes us, Chair, we are in the middle of November. To get added into the paper takes you into December. And you kind of accept that and roll over until the second week of January. That's all I'm saying. One way, one week, this way or that way, is not going to be material. But it would be useful. I think it would be decidedly useful if we were afforded an opportunity to receive the views of the committee, take it to cabinet, and come back. I mean, so that we don't treat the committee as just people in the street. But say, this is the report, this is what we've considered, would you like to discuss these matters with us? Because I think that's quite fundamental to the spirit of accountability that we'd like to establish.
I hope I'm not the only person to
deal with
this. No, I'm just to say, members should comment on this issue, so that once we throw them, we're not going to raise it, we'll move forward.
What I wanted to say, Chairperson, If I understand the minister, the appeal is that whatever we do beyond the end of October should not be beyond the first week of October, of November. If I understand.
That's a brief.
Yeah. Then it accommodates, in his views, a number of possible further interactions with the cabinet, depending on what the committee would have said by then. Then I would propose that we give that a try, and then the challenge then we are going to have from our technical team is to say, if we are to move in that line, what is the technical process that is in place? So that is going to dictate the intensity of our work. So if you take it back to your team, Chairperson, if the committee is in agreement with that.
Chairperson, I just feel that before you close this matter, that we have input from the technical team or from your research component of the team, so that we know what the implications are before we actually close this particular discussion. I hate us to put the cart before the horse.
May I be excused? Alan Hirsch is here. Karina, Ghost is, looks like he's just having lunch, but he's here too.
I think that the issue relates to we're going to have to start working on a report from Word Go. And we've got a researcher, a new researcher's understanding that we might need additional capacity. Justice Committee's got 3 or 4 researchers. Why should this? We've got huge pressure on this. And I would suggest that you might want to ask Parliament for additional research capacity to assist your research in from immediately starting to draft what we are saying in the report. So it's an ongoing process right from where we go because of the time. We need to bear in mind that this process took the executive almost 18 months. We're sitting now with a week period to finalize going into great detail.
Yeah.
With all the research. And I think that one to comment fairly and to create that sort of trust that the minister was speaking about, we need full capacity from Parliament and it needs to be prioritised. That's the first issue. The second issue is I do appreciate that there will be a second bite at the cherry, so to speak, that the minister says you'll come back to us. So there is pressure on us. Let's see what we can do to meet those time constraints. I think it's in the interest of everyone that we try to have a report in by the first week of November. Thank you.
I just wanted to get clarity on what happened after that report in the first week of November. So one should table that and table in Parliament. Then the minister said that they would look at take it back to Cabinet and then they'd come back to us. When would that perhaps take place? Because the Parliament rises, I think, on the 16th of November. Or would it be called back at the committee during, say, September? I don't know. I mean, because obviously they want to get moving on this, so I just need clarity on how that timeline will work.
Yeah. In fact, I think we are getting too much into detail of problems. You know, sometimes you can argue about an agenda, whether the agenda is democratic or autocratic. And frankly, I was against that. And then somewhere, if you've got a good say, we'll say, let's leave that and get into the issues and see where we disagree. And when you get into the issues, you realize that there's very little areas of disagreement, and you see how you finish the agenda, without agreeing whether the agenda is democratic or autocratic. Now, what I'm going to say, I hear what Honorable Spodek is going to say about the technical implications of whatever action you're going to take. You want to report? Maybe, Ellen, you can from your side, just indicate to us. But I don't think there's anything that the minister has said that you'll not be able to say to us. And I want to make a proposal on how we should do it. But let me hear what you can say to assist in this regard.
Do you not understand what I was trying to say? Let the summer of the water come. No, correct? Let them do their work.
Okay.
And then at the end of their work, then let's collate everything.
Good.
And then say how we move forward.
I think, Penelope, allow you to lead us now in this, in your summary.
Okay, we're going to ask Mr. Hirsch if you comment on the post system. Following Mr. Craven's question as to how did he see the President to respond to our report, clearly as a timeline issue, if we give a report by the middle of this November. Maybe that would help us, or do you want to ignore that?
If I may, Honourable Swart, I'm proposing that the research team and the technical team give us their input, and then Mr. Hirsch can respond and give us his idea, which will incorporate the question that you put, and then we can formulate a decision once we have the information.
Okay, let's move.
you.
Thank you, Chapter 10. Greetings, honorable members. This is the summary of all the submissions that you received from the public with regard to the green paper of the strategic planning. We received about 27 submissions, and we've compiled, we fused all the issues on this copy. I hope everybody has got it. I'm not going to start from the introduction, but I will just start on page 2 under the summary of submission, where you have the first person that submitted to us. It was Bergen International. In this submission, he proposed that the wording for example 1 he amended on page, that is on page 11 of the green paper document.
I don't want to do this to the person making a presentation, but this is not what I was expecting to get. I mean, we've got the documentation, we can read it. If we're going to have a brief summary of all 27 submissions, it's going to take us the whole duration of this meeting. I thought what we'd be getting from the research and technical team are the implications of decisions that have to be made and submissions that have got to be made in order to meet these timelines, and what the responsibilities of this committee are. We must go home and read these documents. Some of us have started reading it.
No. I don't agree. This committee said they met and agreed on this cost. You're not in. So this person is doing exactly what the committee asked him to do. So we should allow him to present.
I agree with you that that is correct, but for us not to sit and go through every presentation, we're going to sit for 5 hours. So can't we briefly, if it's going to, because if we're going to spend 10 minutes on every one of these submissions now, I think we need to seriously, at the document that we got yesterday, we all read, and I agree with you, that was what we agreed would happen. But let us curtail the summary now, because we need to then say, what are the implications of the submission? That's the next step. So, I would just suggest to make it as brief as possible.
As far as I'm concerned, he has made a summary in talking to the summary. And well, that honorable member says they don't want him to get a presentation in terms of the summary that has been made. They are quite comfortable with what they've read.
No, Chair, but he referred to page 11. He's taken us back to the original submission.
To the document.
Yeah.
He's not making a reference. Can we allow him to do his job?
Can I propose that we give this presentation a chance? When somebody refers to any page, let's ignore it. Let's not spoil the presentation. People might refer in without stopping the presenter, so that we complete that. I think there's a possibility of finishing with him, unless it proves that we're going beyond the number. I'm requesting that we do that, because my worry is that if we keep on changing rules as we move along, we won't have to take it. I'm saying this when I had the same experience in the subject of whatever, about the same issue, whether I should be presenting.
Can we agree that we take the presentation? You speak to the presentation, to the summary. Then we'll make a decision at the end, after taking the presentation. What is it that we think we need to do for the investigation? Otherwise, I want to argue about this issue until 5 o'clock. It's not going to be helpful.
Okay.
Chairperson, I think yesterday I made the point that maybe we need to categorize the presentation. And then what we're looking for possibly is a summary of the summary. For example, I've read the summary. And if you look at the first person, he talks about energy. The focus is on energy. The second person is on climate change and energy. The third person is also climate change mitigation. I mean, that's their strong point. And then as you go along, when you come to COSATU, I mean, they talk about the location, the institutional arrangements, the policy. So then we start getting a sense of the 27, how many are in the one cluster? How many are in another talking about institution? How many are saying, we don't want this at all, because there's one group that are saying, we don't want this green paper. So that's the kind of thinking that flows through our mind as the presenter presents his
thing. Can I say, as the presenter makes his contribution, we know this issue that you are raising, that this particular presentation says 1, 2, 3, 4. At the end, it is our duty, all of us, to then say, this is how we deal the presentation. Hello, like? Yeah. Baptismal of fire. Yeah. The baptismal of fire. That's me.
Thank you, Chair. We have noted all the comments. Chair, I was on the first one. So there was a proposal, Chair, that the heading there should be read as South Africa is to make a key choice in the next 3 years on energy sources, or has to decide on at least one single superior energy source for power generation, funding it aggressively, initially by way of funds and grant funding, to maximize the overall benefit for South African economy by way of massive and aggressive intervention. And they have requested that they would like to be informed whether this change will be effected in the current year or not. Then the second one was Harold Walker. The submission proposed that there is a need for the national strategic planning to focus more on the implementation levels than international levels. So the submission further recommended that one or two commissioners should have good credentials on climate change and energy. And it also recommended that consultations should be even more broad and real. And also, there is a need for targets to be developed together in order to come up with shared vision. There are a number of forums that should be considered other than the network only. So that was their feeling, that the Green Paper only, mentioned the network as one of the forums that we will be considered. By the same, the number of forums. So it means that it's a duty of the now the National Planning Commission to investigate those other forums to be included in the presentation. Then the third one is Dr. Christo Becker. And his submission recommended that climate change mitigation will require integration of all central development issues, from energy, economic development, up to rural development. It was further contended that the national strategic planning should take into account the significance of topic, which is climate change, and make this a core business instead of announcing the significant topic. And further to that, they said the immediate action is at least to align the imperatives for more effective, efficient ways to address the energy crisis. So the climate change also requires setting up clear and simple goals and provide focused support in public. Then furthermore, such transparency will promote and raise large support from all walks of life, including civil societies, government and businesses that will be required to implement the infrastructure planning. Then also their submission also seeks some clarity on the following issues. They've raised a number of questions, which amongst others say how the high level of planning will articulate with the detailed plan for each sector. And also they say what is going to happen to the previous medium-term strategic framework, which was articulated in the provincial growth and development strategy for 2014. Then they ask the question of, is the upper tier, which is the presidency, going to hold the municipalities and the regional levels accountable for not implementing and reaching the international goals of our country, such as the minimum goals, NEPA priorities. Then they continue to say, since 2014 is a due date for the current mandate, who is accountable for making sure that there is the completion of the parent goals, objectives, and priorities, which inter alia include in them goals. So their feeling is that there is a current mandate that is in the process, so to speak. So who's accountable for the particular mandate? When it's going to be completed, and how, whether I was still in line with the deadlines of the 2014 in terms of that particular mandate. Mm-hmm. And there is this proposal that comes with different paper, or which are shifting the focus from what is already happening to this planning, strategic planning, national strategic planning, so that we just forget about what is already happening. So they say there is a need for an agent to ensure comprehensive application of the plan in cabinet. All state departments and private sector with regard to synergy and holistic socio-economic development. And there is a need for the national strategic planning to focus more on local levels and across sectors. And the submission also recommended that national strategic planning should clearly define the relationship with the process of integrated energy planning. Hence, it has been on hold since the first plan was established in 2003. Defining it as a broader consultative process which will involve strategic fingers from government, civil societies, and business will assist in paving the vision of the energy sector in a low-carbon economy and society. Then this also means that if national integrated resource planning and ESCOM planning should talk to the national strategic planning. And also the submission further says that I propose that those state departments that have revised their missions and visions should also be revised. And we know that some departments have been reclassified and some have been, you know, newly established and some have been divided, splitted. So there should be some revision of some mission and visions as well. That's what they are raising. And the example was the Department of Social Services and Population Department as well. Its vision is to create livelihood which occurs through kitchen, feeding, programs and social grants. Only there is no career or capacity development to empower them in order to sustain their livelihood and reduce dependency. This is another example of the departments that they believe that its vision should be revised. Number four, it was Mr. Lawrence M. Hersey. The submission has proposed that there is a need for a formulation of credo for national natural resource preservation and planning. This has been identified as one of the important areas that needs to be covered in the green paper. It was also indicated that the creation of national strategic planning needs a global approach for comprehensive new National Conservative Act and a new Land Use Act in South Africa, in agreement with all government, both at provincial and at a local level. There is a need for national upgrading plan which will guide the rural development issues in order to reduce the movement of rural people to urban areas, which is a major contributor to the degrading of rural resources. It was further recommended that there is a need for special law principle in order to resolve conflicts that are going to be experienced from various bodies which are involved in national security planning. So number five is Mr. Gil Sewell. The new submission has recommended that national strategy of the development industry should also include processes of capacity building in the civil society structure in order to achieve sustainable governance outcomes. And national planning should also include skilled people from line departments and civil society structures with systemic consultation, participation, and proper feedback mechanism in order to strengthen the democratic planning process and achieve sustainable outcomes through accountable line departments. With regard to the monitoring evaluation submission, it has recommended that there is a need for essential sustained success of collective planning, budgeting, monitoring and evaluation that does not only focus on the OSHA General as a supreme external body, but also there is a need to capacitate and upskill internal auditors of each department and internal committees, internal audit committees.
in order for them to move from the basic compliance regulatory and control towards more cost-effective and value for money performance evaluation of public funds. So they believe that if there is an upgrading and a capacity development within the department itself, since the internal auditor is placed there to actually assess the risk and look at the possibilities and instabilities, then and reflect green light in the initial term before the AG can come at the end of the year and identify a problem that could have been corrected. And Mrs. Eric Brome, who is number 6, then suggested that the South African government should address the issue of control of population inclusion as a priority in the national strategic plan, and further recommended the following. Honourable members that were present in the meeting yesterday, we had indicated that the document was not completed. So we were going to complete it today. And made for today.
And when there are recommendations, deal with the recommendations rather than to deal with the.
Thanks, Chair. I think because most of us have pointed this one, which is number 6 for such just use it. Cosatro is number 6, has submitted the following recommendations. They said there is a need for a complete overhaul of the content of the print paper and for its alignment with the perspective on the National Planning Commission developed in Polokwane and the Alliance Economic Summit. And they said there is a need for defining the role and constitution of the National Planning Commission, the role of the Minister responsible for NPC and the Ministry of Economic Development in a broader context of changing the development of the state. They also said that the NPC and Ministry responsible for the National Planning Commission should not be allowed to veto decisions of other departments. Hence, these are the powers and responsibilities of other departments. Then they said the Advocate Committee should identify and develop agent measures to strengthen newly established ministries and departments into fully fledged entities with adequate capacity to fully discharge their mandates in order to begin the development of state. And the submission further made the following recommendations in terms of the policy formulation. The submission recommended that the policy formulation in economic development should be shifted from the ministry responsible for the planning commission, whose main function should be to develop plans to implement government policies. It was further indicated again that there is a need to maintain integrity of cabinet's oversight role over the policy formulation, planning and coordination, including cabinet clusters. And there is a need also for the strategic planning process to properly define the role of cabinet cluster, cross-cutting departments such as economic development or rural development. Line functions department, provinces, local government, and other state institutions, including private sector. I will move to Neha, which is number 7. The submission of Neha has proposed that the committee should reject the brown paper proposal on two folds. Firstly, it undermines the collective and participatory democratic approach. Secondly, the centralization of the role of the Minister of Planning. It entails
just go through the where they are recommendations, just through the recommendations, still the recommendations. And development, planning, unity, etc. Have no recommendation, but all what they said was to support the idea of the National Planning Commission. The business unit, South Africa, which is number 9. He had made some recommendations, but particularly with regard to the appointment of the commissioner. They have said this is the process under which the commissioner will be yesterday, number 9. The process under which the commissioners are going to be appointed should not require, it should be fair and clear. And number 10, which is the Law Society of South Africa. They had proposed that in developing national strategic planning and its 2025 vision, it should be imperative to take into account the role of the private sector with its vast investment opportunities, its promising competitive returns while promoting common interests for the nation. And number 11, the Eastern Baltimore Line, this submission was consists of the following recommendations. The ideas of the national strategic planning should be duplicated in each premier's office in order to enhance government capacity in terms of long-term planning and implementation. And secondly, the national strategic planning and this planning commission should be clear as to how the government is going to execute the process of channeling the national plan to other spheres. And the planning process will be improved without creating an impression that it is interfering with a departmental mandate. And the national planning should investigate the possibilities of making the promotion of social health a common vision for the country. And such public health is likely to keep all the social development, development departments engaged than the state or the departments. It also needs to draw in criminal justice departments into the picture as well as this paradigm, which takes community safety as a subset of health or social capital. It is very likely to draw in other departments and government spheres to the realization of social health vehicle for better life for all. Then number 12, it was the Eastern Cape Youth Development Forum. They have made two proposals, which is saying the board proposed that president should explore other avenues or deploy two people on the National Planning Commission. One, the person would be serving as the information officer to liaise public and private bodies. Secondly, the person who will also serve as a coordinator to facilitate title of the work of the National Planning Commission on all components of system. And they've also requested that they should be providing a transport and accommodation to the requested to come and make oral submission. And number 13, urban regional planning in Northwest University. They said the submission indicated that South Africa should enhance development through a stratified and focused investment strategy which will focus on the whole urban area system. And for the Free Market Foundation, there are no recommendations. And also, TWAS organization number 15, there are no recommendations except that they support the idea. Magic Quad, which is number 16, his recommendations on page 9. He recommended that 2% of the total budget should be allocated towards the implementation of the recommendation of the Integrated National Disability Strategy. He also said that each government department should be compelled to set aside a small budget to address the accessibility issues in their buildings for people with disabilities. They felt that the issue of disability has been sidelined for quite a number of years, so they requested that the government should take that issue as a priority as well in the national strategic planning. Where the Department of Transport is analyzing its transport projects should take into account the importance of access of people with disabilities to the public transport. They feel that they are not being considered when it comes to the arrangement of public transport. There is a need to review the status of care and dependence grants and make sure it is received by everybody despite their employment status. Private companies need to be forced to take social responsibilities, prioritizing people with disability. And number 17,
not made any recommendation, or either the recommendation the first one. Should they have raised questions? No, they are not recommendations, they raised questions first. So we'll move to number 18, which has made two recommendations. Number 18 is Mrs. Erica Groom, where he recommended that there must be no child grant to be received by a woman having a child which is conceived while she is still under the legal age of consent. This will assist in building the future of our young ones, and there will be no school girl that falls pregnant instead of focusing on her studies. Secondly, he recommended that there must be only two maximum child grants over a lifetime to be made available to any female. This will assist in restricting people from getting more than one child, yet they don't have money to raise the child. Number 19, there is no highlighted recommendation. We'll move to number 20, which is the Johannesburg Disability Forum. They've made four recommendations. Government should increase the number of disabled people in the employment, provide the key channels of communication with members of the public and staff with disabilities, implement the relevant disabilities consideration into the current procurement system, establish a disabled economic empowerment. Hence, DEE is not solving the problem. So they think that the current policy on economic empowerment is not empowering them, is not considering them. So they're recommending that they should have a special policy on economic empowerment. And so we move to number 22, page 7, LH for children. He has raised a number of questions. There are no recommendations there. So we will number 24, he has not made any recommendations, but they are concerns. So I don't know whether to go through those concerns. Number 24, on page 12, they've raised a number of concerns here. They said the Green Paper says to ensure the participation of business and labor in the National Planning Commission. Hence, it only spoke about the respected thinkers, and the definition of this way might differ from one person to another. And also, secondly, they've raised that the Chamber has warned that the exclusion of businesses and labor might lead to the marginalization of the most important contributor in the economic growth. And secondly, the Chamber is also concerned that the Planning Commission is responsible for the development of the national plan for the whole country, but the stakeholders do not serve in the commission itself. So they don't want to be consulted only, but they want also to be involved in the Planning Commission. There is a need for the national planning to obtain the full support from stakeholders instead of reducing them into mere consultation. Then we move to number 25, also a law project which has raised some concerns as well. It was noted that the Green Paper is silent on the issues around constitutional court jurisprudence that provides much needed guidance on the appropriate relationship between short, medium, and long-term planning. And also they mentioned that this Green Paper only advances an improvised notion of consultation, focusing only on the need to secure stakeholder buy-in at the expense of placing substantive value on the process itself. Then the third one is saying that it was indicated that the Green Paper was silent on health. Therefore, it was proposed that the issue of health planning should be more prominent in the national planning. The Green Paper was also not clear in articulating the relationship between the Minister and the Planning Commission and the Secretariat and the Government on the other hand. The Green Paper does not seem to ascribe to the speech of the President during the party vote, where it said this portfolio will deal with the matters of macro and microeconomic planning. This is due to the fact that the Green Paper does not seem to be focusing a lot on this department other than in passing. Number 26, Dr. Omed Omano Odijay. He has not made recommendations, but the analysis that he has done was giving a very different perspective from the rest of other submissions. it came with the different views and the different angles. The submission that he made supports the planning and further indicates that it is a norm for developmental state to establish a planning agent. Commission of planning, however, Doctor was warned that such a high ministry should not be allowed to be headed by the minister because, in a way, it becomes a super ministry. In nature, it's a super ministry. It cannot be headed by expert and intellectual, but proposed that it must be headed by deputy president and the president's office. Then he further indicated that this will assist in ensuring effective allocation of resources of government to respond to the needs of the poor. He suggests that the super ministry needs to be instituted to avoid it being captured by sectoral interest groups. Then it was also suggested that it requires a presidential planning committee instead of ministerial planning committee, and key ministers from social and economic clusters should be involved. And then it further indicated that the first, that the National Planning Commission will consist of outside intellectuals and experts. It is going to create a situation where the quest for developmental state is being undermined because it will appear as if the government is outsourcing its planning responsibilities and authorities. Uh-huh. Then it was further noted that the shortfall of the green paper is that even though it is based on the research, but it does not appear to have drawn some experiences from successful countries which have already implemented this process. He made some examples, Korea, Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. And he further added to say the green paper seems to be confusing national vision and the planning. The idea is that national visions are set by the political class and leaders who mobilize the society and towards their vision. They use and deploy state machinery to develop plans in order to realize this vision. Then the vision is the goal, while the national plan is the means to achieve that particular goal. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Fellow. You did exactly what the actual committee asked you to do yesterday. Thank you very much. Honorable members, there's a summary. Is there any other thing that we think we need to add or make a proposal on how we structure the discussion after receiving the summary? Honorable Trolley?
Thanks, Chairperson. There were a couple of other things that were requested yesterday that I think the committee will need clarity on. Whether this process is going to involve legislation from green paper to white paper. And it was advised that parliamentary advisors need to be consulted in this regard to give us advice. I'd like to know what happened with that. And there was an opinion that this process might not need to go to a white paper and go through a legislation process. Has that been clarified, and the future got clarity from the Speaker on the role of this committee?
Chairperson, yeah, thank you very much. I just thought some of the issues that Mr. Honourable Trollope is raising were ones which Minister Manuel at the outset tried to give us some indication on where they see the process. But he said quite clearly he didn't see this becoming a green, white, and whatever. He said green, adopted green, a modified green, and then, you know, taking into consideration everything that we said. Now, whether we accept the good faith in which he's put this is something that the committee's got to deliberate. Because he said they will take into consideration some of the comments, but we've got to obviously debate that. So from that point of view, I think we have their kind of thinking on that. As far as the Speaker and the role of the committee, I think you did tell us what is expected of us. Unless we need a little more clarity on that. I don't know. But I think we do understand where we fit in.
I think both the ministers gave some clarification on that question. But there are two, I think the answers are sort of more than one dimension. It's clear from the presidency. They haven't white paper and the legislation. It appears that he knew this process as consulting with the parliament towards what they want to put in place as a planning protocol, planning commission. You can get from the minister when he says, speaks about advertising and all those kinds of things, that what he foresees is that immediately we are finished here, they must implement this based on the response of the cabinet. But however, I think if I listen to the chairperson, that he also foresees a possibility that in interacting with this process, the committee might be of particular view on how the process should go. Because what you must also remember, a parliament is entitled to an original view with regard to this issue. It is not going to think subject to what the presidency or the minister is thinking. But their interest and exactly where they want us to go has made it a humble indication. And the point I'm trying to make, Chairperson, is that I think at this point in time, my proposal would be that let us move in a manner that seeks to meet the requirements as put there. But in the process of interacting with this, if in interacting with this, the committee is of the view that any different process needs to be followed. This is a parliamentary institution which is not reporting to that someone. It's an independent institution. But what I'm saying is that you don't start from the beginning by saying you're not going to make their request. But I think the first intent of my proposal, we should assume that we are capable of making their request. But if in the process of interacting, there's a reason why a different process should be followed. I think if there's a compelling case, the committee should be able to make.
Just on the point of clarity, Chair, if the committee agrees that the call by the minister that there shouldn't be a white paper process and that we should move from a green paper process to implementation and advertising and setting up of the department, well then we as a committee must decide that too. Are we happy that this process does not have to go to white paper? Because some of the submissions call for further public interaction. Some of the submissions specifically call for a white paper process. So we need to take a decision as a committee whether we support that appeal not to have a white paper process. And then we can proceed, because the last thing we want to do is take two steps forward and three backwards if there's a challenge.
Can I make another comment on the minister? I don't see the logic, honourable members, in deciding whether this will be then the need for white paper or green paper. Because we're at the initial stage of interacting with this, so we're going to interrogate it, get to the deeper analysis of the thing. Up front to decide whether it's going to be a white or a green paper, we would use that logic. I don't see the logic. The point I'm saying is that what I'm proposing is that we shouldn't close doors to any other process. But what I'm proposing is that let's interact with the process. If at a certain point in time, deliberating as this committee, there's a compelling case that we must go white road. This is an independent institution. We must be able to organize that. But the point I'm trying to make is that I propose that let's not take those tough decisions before we engage with the process. That's my proposal.
Yeah. Maybe just to restate the obvious, honorable members, in order to keep on asking what is our mandate, what are we expected to do, the simple answer, cabinet through the presidency, table the green paper in the house. The house has referred the green paper for consideration and report to the National Assembly. That's what this ad hoc committee was established to look into the green paper and have a report back to the National Assembly. As to what the content of that report would be determined by ourselves. Secondly, One of the things that we should not lose sight of is that we took a decision ourselves as a committee that in order to actually execute this mandate that Parliament has given us, we'll go a particular route. We'll not just sit on our own and deliberate on the white paper. We'll also solicit the views of the public and gave 2 weeks space for people to make written submissions. And we said it will be out of those submissions that will then determine whether we need to have oral representation or not. We've got 27 submissions. And I think we should move step by step in that direction. Now, what I think we should be looking at, because sometimes, we mustn't behave like economists. You know, economists can be easily diverted from a simple method because they've got different models in their head on how a particular problem needs to be solved. The issue before us is that we have received the submissions, written submissions, and we must treat them as important as we are supposed to because the parliamentary process. These are not like condolence messages where you choose which one you want to treat in a better way or not, which one you want to read, which one you don't want to read. These are public submissions that we have before us. The summary that we have just received, I can summarize them in two portions. One, there are those submissions that are beginning to actually look into what the content of the national plan should be. And people are also advocating for national planning precisely because they think there are cross-cutting issues that require maximum coordination, issues like natural resources, water, energy, and so on and so forth, which are covered in the green paper itself. And I think we should really focus on those issues that we think we need to begin to distill and decouple issues. There are also institutional matters that have been raised. And as Parliament, we also have a responsibility through this committee to say, over and above what is being proposed, how is Parliament going to relate to these processes of planning and so on and so forth? I also hear through this submission, particularly the summary itself, that there is a concern in terms of the envisaged planning commission, its relationship and government, its relationship with land departments, you know, its relationship with the public sector, not public sector, but civil society. So those are the things that I'm beginning to pick up from this presentation, honorable members. And I thought we should just channel our discussions around that, and we will be more effective and more productive. Then it will be out of this discussion that we then say, and I think Honorable Singh covered this thing very, very much in our deliberation to say, in his view, let's do our work, come next week Thursday, we may actually have a preliminary report that we present to Parliament. This is the work that we've done, and we think we require more space to cover what the minister says, if we agree, and come back to the issue of green paper vis-a-vis white paper. The minister makes a proposal. He says, you know, let's be alive to the realities of seasonal behavior of corporate South Africa and individual society. Beyond November, we've got no activity, business. He's actually making an appeal. Can the committee consider putting forward a final report that will be part of the report in the 18th of the views of Parliament by the 6th of November, rather than the 12th or the 16th of November? That's one proposal that is put forward to an appeal. And I think we should be looking at those issues. But all these matters in terms of processes, to me, they are doable. Let's then look into what would be more difficult as we move on in terms of our way. That was the summary that, in fact, my own summation of the presentation. Perhaps what we need to do, Honorable Singh, you could actually also help us in terms of just explaining the issue that we need to focus on. Let me move and we zoom into this discussion.
Yeah, Jefferson, and I think I'm in line with your thinking, because from the summary here, we see there are issues of location. Where should this thing be located? There are issues of omission, like, you know, on the energy side. There are issues of other institutional arrangements, etc., etc. I don't want to run through it. But there's a whole list of issues that we can pick up that we need to focus on. But I think the one area, and I just want to go on to the other document that we may need to look at, Chairperson, is this one, the Strategic National Development Planning, and maybe Dr. Hesh can help us, because it is prepared for the presidency by Mike Miller, right? But maybe for us, as this ad hoc committee of parliament, we need to also get our researchers, or some kind of a research, to see what happens in these countries from a parliamentary point of view. This is from the executive point of view. Now, what happens in these parliaments? India has got a parliament. South Korea has got a parliament, hopefully. Brazil has got a parliament. What does parliament do in relation to this process? So that will help us here at parliament to carve our niche, or to learn from the experiences of these parliaments to carve our niche in the entire process as we move forward.
Chairperson, thank you. Dr. Hassan, and the role that he was playing with regard to collecting public submissions, has he forwarded all the submissions that have been sent to him? That's just a question. And then secondly, Chair, I think you made a pretty good summation of what is coming out of those submissions. But there's a further observation that I make, is that most of the submissions are in support, with the proviso that certain of their areas of concern or focus are included in the Planning Commission. But there's also a couple of submissions that are against the establishment of the National Planning Commission according to the Green Paper. And that's an issue that we're going to have to talk about, because the substantial difference between what you were saying and what those submissions say is that some of those submissions are calling on this ad hoc committee to reject the proposals of the Green Paper and to start fresh. And I think that's where we need to focus our attention, on the differences between those that are in support, provisionally in support, and those that are just against the contents of the Green Paper and the recommendations around the establishment of the National Planning Commission and its mandate.
I think if you go through all these submissions, generally there's this big support amongst the And most of the questions they want clarified, they are clarified in the article, in the Green Paper. I can say most of the questions. As a result of that, you ask yourselves, what's the benefit of engaging with those who are asking questions that are clarified? What value added is there if you want to interact with those? That's the question you need to answer. And the second question is that there are those that are critical of the country. I suspect that there's a value addition there when you interact with those, because they might actually show you something that you do not see in the process of engagement. But the first kind of was to me, like I was saying, as value in terms of oral or the car. Submission. The second group to me that would actually warrant submission, oral submission, even although they support, but because of their stature in society, I find it very useful to interact with them. If you look at Bursa Chamber of Mines, and you look at the Green Paper, looking at critically the issue of partnership and the major elements of that partnership. These are huge institutions when it comes to the private sector. Whether they support this thing, I still believe it would add value
you put a further positive pressure on them to actually come and interact with around this issue. That's the second group where I would think about or what we call submission. The problem is third, I'm not very attached to this one I'm going to say. I'm impressed by this last chap. Who is this chap? I find him presenting a potential to can engage us in a very provocative manner with regards to this in his individual or capacity. So what I'm saying is that's the kind of context in which I see. I repeat the purpose. I'm not worried about the major support of people who are asking content questions whose answers are there in the current paper. I'm more excited in dealing with those who are challenging me and those who occupy a particular status in the current society, who are key going forward when you actually look at the partnership. Because there's a broad society, there's a private sector, there's a public sector.
I think that's convergent.
Just one question about Dr. Hassan's role and whether all submissions have been received from him or was he receiving them on behalf of Parliament?
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. The presidency received submission independent of the committee, but what we then did as the secretariat was to compile a batch of those submissions for the members to consider in addition to what they have received. But most of them are actually a duplication of what they've already given to the committee. So that would be basically background information. Because most of them submitted both those to Mr. Hassan and then to the committee. So I have the submissions here for members to look at.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just ask a question, Chair, because I have a submission here that's not part of the pack, and I don't think it's part of the 26 or 27. It was submitted to Hassan at po.gov.za on October 16th at 3:34 p.m. Friday. And I just want to get clarity on that. I mean, it was submitted by the Democratic Alliance Cape Town. And what was his role in receiving submissions? I just want to get clarity on that.
Before the green paper came to, before the committee was adopted, was a study story. The presidency was already receiving public submissions from the public. That's why even Dr. Wilmot James submitted to Mr. Hassan. So that process was already running before even the establishment of this committee. So when the committee was established, the people were then using the two processes.
Yeah, Honourable Court was not the yesterday. We did indicate that Parliament, once the green paper was tabled and referred to this Act of Committee, we then established a process through which the public will make written submissions. But the Presidency on their own have also called for submissions. So that is why you find some submissions have been referred to a different process like this one. But in essence, the two processes are supposed to complement each other than to compete.
That's my point. I just want to know whether there is a central collection point to bring these submissions together. Because if the committee finds that we missed some of the submissions and some are with the presidency and they're not with us and there's public confusion, we might miss very valuable input like the last gentleman you spoke about, who said he might come and give us provocative input. If there are 2 points of connection, we might, some of the submissions might fall between the cracks. We really need to tie that up and make sure that the submissions all come to the committee.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think our secretary has said that she's got a summary of all those submissions. So let's put them in another category. We consider them, but maybe we deal with what we've received here, because we've got enough work on our plate here. But bring all those submissions in and hand it out to us as well, and then maybe a summary can be done of that as well. So we don't miss out any submission made to anybody at any stage. But let's do it in stages, so we quite methodical in what we do. But I think the product makes an important point that we need to take on board all the submissions that were received by all parties. And according to the Secretary, not many more than we have received, because there's a lot of duplication. So if there's duplication, tell us duplicated, finish, don't even give it to us, if we have it. If it's a new submission, bring it into us in another form.
Not
bad.
I think it's a good idea. Personally, I think it's your prerogative to answer them, so that's fine.
I think the decision I've taken is that the summary should come.
Sure.
It's not now, it's just that my
meeting. If the submissions you're receiving, are you compiling a document in response to that report? Clearly, we've got a role as Parliament. I'm just trying to get my thinking straight here, because often when we're dealing with legislation or policy, you have a department of the comments and says, this submission is already covered in the green paper. So I'm talking about the parallel process that you are engaged on with those submissions, where you might be commenting on a specific submission saying, this is good, this is included, we're going to relook at that issue. Is there any document that you're preparing in that regard?
Chair, when we submit to Cabinet, we will have a schedule which would essentially indicate all the submissions that were received and responses to them, including Parliament's report. So I think, you know, we wouldn't be doing that before the parliamentary report. After the parliamentary report, we'll prepare that schedule, including the parliamentary report, and submit it to Cabinet. But I don't think, you know, I think you're welcome to ask us if we're participating, if we're here at the meeting, if we have a view, or if we would like to clarify a point or something like that, but I don't think that we're going to submit comments on the document.
Yeah. Let me just make a because I don't think the two causes will be in mutual exclusive, honestly speaking. The summary is here. Parliament is free to entertain those summary. That's why I'm concerned. But we just formalize that we are going to request that information to be forwarded to the committee from the president, so that we can help them also process that information. That doesn't say they must stop once they were going to do the submission. They'll continue with their own processes, but let's look into those submissions also.
I'm sorry, sir. I just think that it will be useful,
yeah,
after what Dr. Hirsch has said, that if he is sitting here, we could clarity on a specific issue as you're going along, as opposed to a written submission. I think that will be very useful.
No, I think the summation is correct, but what I want to stress is that in the process of receiving submission, there is no conventional requirement to respond to those who are giving you submission. What is key is that you will demonstrate, it depends on you whether all each and every submission is worth putting into your work. But the key thing, Chairperson, which I thought maybe we need to interfere is that to create a logical process. The department has made a presentation. We are going through a process of hearing and so on. They must actually be with us continuously, so that at the end, they also make a final response to whatever we have been submitted to us. Before we say we finally move to this particular case. Well, there are submissions here, which are very robust, where they will have to sit here, but not interrupt. But at a certain point in time, when we have gone through that, they will have listened continuously. They make their response, and having made those response, and they will make up our own mind if the committee wants to go. So that logic usually serves the committee better.
Okay. Now, if we agree on that, I want us to go back to what Honorable I don't want to say whatever, like you say with Professor Mutesi. I think we should go back to what you actually, you are beginning to categorize the submissions, that which we think are more critical, those that we think are generally in agreement with the fact of the train data, and those that we think we may need to make a follow-up in terms of the entity of actually said this individual, the paper that seems to be well-designed, well-informed, views that are almost similar but also enriching the document itself, the current paper. We may need to further identify such a presenter to come and make an oral submission. Those that have also said, we don't like the idea of oral. We say, it might be interesting also just to get and engage. Why do they think in America with their thinking? So I thought we should just go there. And that is going to determine the final product and the program that we are going to have. We have a program that we have not tested yesterday. But this program is also going to be informed by the outcome of these deliberations in terms of how we move forward. So I thought we should just go there and revisit that in terms of this list that we have here.
Maybe let me, what is it, who will ring the catch?
Oh,
yeah. Who will bell the catch? So let me throw the... You see, having thought in the manner I thought, I repeat, I said, our GOP proposals agreed with the planning committee, but they raised a number of questions that are answered by the ones called by the committee. I said, there's no variety in dealing with those. And secondly, there are those provocative submissions which without engaging with those, you would cost this process the highlights it deserves. Well, I'm saying that, for instance, if you look at Kosati submission, it's quite a very provocative and a very robust submission that I think we need to... Provocative, I don't mean irritation. It's provocative in terms of engagement. And very robust, and it would add value in engagement with that. But let me show the number will make up their views. Interestingly, although now is an affiliate of protocol of... but they are an independent union. They also make their challenge. But some people would say it's similar to COSATU. But I would say maybe we should also consider now. Those are two provocative, and the third provocative one is this Odeji as whatever you call his name. These are the only three very provocative submissions in the entire thing. But when you come to Chamber and Bursa, I think those are major institutions in our country. It would be very valuable to, I said, putting a positive pressure, because they haven't done much work in their submission.
But if you were to put a post in pressure to them to make a submission, so in their own area of work, there's a lot to actually to share with them. And the other area is this aid to our process, not because they are making any major submission in terms of planning, but the legalities of this, to me, are very critical to engage with that type of protocol of an institution. There are two others which are not making major what to call, but I think because of their categorization, there's this disability submission. And I think in a major institution like this, when you have an opportunity to promise someone who are advocating for disability sector, you would want to give one or two of them. I think there are two, but you can choose one of them or both. The last one, although they seem to want the youth, there's only one youth submission here.
They want transport
from the Eastern Cape. They want everything. I'm not very strong on that, but because of their category, you know, you don't have young people in this thing. It's quite a very conspicuous issue. They are conspicuously absent, and those are the only youth people. Although they are not making a very strong what you call submission, but I'll say that's my thinking in general. But I want to listen to what the committee says.
Yeah, Chairperson, yeah, I think
I know I've got a loud voice. Give the one next to me an opportunity to say something.
Well, I must say, I'm in almost perfect agreement with the organizations you've identified, so I think we are certainly making progress. I would certainly agree with that. The only other issue, though, is whether we want to look at some of the content stuff as well. I mean, these are all mainly dealing with institutional, but I mean, I'm open to that as well. My other suggestion, though, is that if we're going to have public hearings, we probably can only do it on Monday, I imagine, to give them advance notice, which means that we'll still have a meeting tomorrow where, you know, we can't move ahead until we have this public hearing. But perhaps what we should be doing then with the meeting tomorrow is to look at some of the content stuff in advance, because these ones will mainly deal with the institutional arrangements. And maybe tomorrow we can have a discussion around some of the content stuff that the Planning Commission should be looking at and travelling together later.
I have a proposal.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you. No, I'm in broad agreement. And I think as you mentioned the names, we should have been saying yay or nay. But broadly, I think we should look at the sectors. But with the proviso that if there's, for example, in the presidency, a sector which deals with the youth that might have made representations there, like more detailed and substantial representations, then we must consider that rather than this. So let's weigh the sector as well, because now we've already agreed we're going to bring you in. And although they haven't made the submission to us, we can invite them here and say, well, as a youth, you went there. Well, we are inviting you instead of transport and accommodation for Eastern Cape. But I'm not taking the thing lightly, but let's just do it together. And then probably after we decide on the list of names, then, well, tomorrow we can discuss on how long we give them, how many minutes for this and that, and questions. And
the entire process
of how we deal with the hearings and how we deal with our own submissions as Parliament. That is another debate that's going to take quite a bit of our time. As Parliament, how do we see our work? And we need that research. Thank you.
Honourable Sark, and then followed by Honourable Collins.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I am also broadly in agreement. I think we need to just keep a minimum number of submissions as far as possible. I heard my colleague said about Nahawu, that it's very similar to Kosaki. I don't have a major problem with Nahawu, because I suppose if you've got Busa and the Chamber of Mines, there's an overlap there as well. So I would tend to agree, starting Nahawu, Chamber, Busa, ASCOR project, one disability, not two, and accept the youth maybe. And then you've got six, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then you might have the flexibility to add one more, but try to keep it as minimum as possible, because then you've got more time to engage, and you have one day of submission, you've got more time to engage, you can spend an hour with each institution, as opposed to normally that you rush and you can't actually really ventilate the issue.
Chair, I'm also in broad agreement. I think we should make sure that we invite organizations that represent more than one individual. It doesn't matter how provocative submission is. And I read the, and I think it's important that we have the youth on board, but I read that particular submission, and you will know that I come from the Eastern Cape, so I must be biased about keeping anyone from the Eastern Cape out of making the submission. But I really read that submission, and I couldn't find any coherence in that submission. So I think what we need to do is we need to invite, I know it's very difficult to invite an organization that hasn't made a submission, but I think we should invite an organization that represents youth more broadly to come and make a representation. And I think it would be wise if we also included the Law Society of South Africa. Their submission isn't fantastic, but they do represent a body that has important opinions. And just judging by what we've been going through in the last couple of months around law and jurisprudence, and I think it would be pertinent to get them as well. So I'm in agreement with all the other names that were mentioned, but I would like to see us include the Law Society of South Africa.
Just having listened to all of that, I mean, as I said, I wasn't in agreement. I think the one sector that we should possibly look at bringing in, if we're going to have the disability sector and we're going to have the youth sector, a number of submissions were made from the environment sector as well, looking at natural resources. And I think that we should have one person, at least, or one organization representing that.
Yeah, Chair, no, I agree with that biodiversity, because I saw that. But there is, you see, I don't know, there are people who've made submissions, but there are people who haven't made submissions or organizations, which might be important. For example, SALGA. We've got a submission here from a Segwini municipality, but it would seem that it comes from one branch of subdirectors that deals with planning, and I just get a sense that this person wants to be appointed to the planning commission at some stage. But I that's something else we've got to think about as well. There could be sectors that can influence and be part of it, but haven't made submission. And how do we deal with that? We don't have to talk about it now.
Maybe before I want to say something, I just want us to be a bit careful. You know, when you begin to converge, you converge, and it's exciting to keep on saying. For me, what is critical is to get what has been submitted to the president. Maybe some of the organizations, institutions that I'm talking about, their submissions are in. Secondly, this committee must also take a stand. Because if we need to complete our work, we cannot have a perpetual open day submission. Tomorrow get another one, the other day. So we're not going to meet the deadlines. And I think Honorable Senior at the beginning said, this committee must not look like it's not serious. I think we're very serious-minded people. And it's an adult committee that I think all the political parties have sent people that matter. Not that there are people who don't matter in the chamber. Now, we are expected to give a quality report within a very specific time also. So we should not be tempted as ad hoc as we are to try even to extend our lifespan by continuing to invite more and more participants. I agree in terms of the list, those four or five that won't get raised, quite critical. Let's take into the president's submissions, the youth, maybe thousands and so on and so forth. But those that have not made a submission, if we go out of our way, the question is going to be, where do you end?
disagree with you there that people, as soon as you start approaching people that haven't made submissions, the ones that have made submissions just say that you're not even inviting us to make our own. So I think we need to be very careful about that.
Come in on Frankfurt.
Gotcha.
My last comment is that I think we're on course, Jefferson, and I think your advice is very, very important. But I think, you see, this challenge of tomorrow, which we must quickly browse on. You see, I think the big challenge this other committee has to attach a credibility of originality in the exercise of this duty is to also show some proactivity. The point I'm trying to make is that maybe tomorrow's meeting, it's important to engage this committee and ask ourselves a question. In short, medium, and long term, what are the implications of this new life that is coming about in the present for parliamentary situation? And I think that question should not be taken for granted. We should engage in that question with an applied mind. That's why I nearly jumped into Salga thing, amongst other things, because Salga, naturally, in terms of their work, they have to interact, they have to deal with the question of coordination, integration, and whatever, and so on. You expect an organization like that to add value in what we're trying to do. But I'm saying, there are implications for Parliament with regard to this. Because if they're going to have a National Building Commission coordinating the work of multiplicity of stakeholders towards achieving particular goals, there's oversight that has to take place in Parliament. We need to begin to engage and brainstorm on what would be the implications. Among the other things I thought about, Shepherd, would be, I am not sure, for instance, in this Parliament, it would be an ambush to the Speaker's office with regard to the team that has been dealing with the oversight protocol, oversight mode, just to share what they are thinking. Just to actually share with us what is it that they've been trying to do. Because that oversight model attempts to organize Parliament in a manner that is actually giving the language of interacting with the executive in a manner that helps it to get the kind of appropriate answer that it's looking for. So I just thought I should throw that. I'm trying to say, let's discuss what exactly do we do tomorrow in this instance, while they are inviting this organization.
I have therefore, the agenda for tomorrow, in fact, it has one, we may be finalizing, I think the secretariat here will be working on a program of the invitation. We'll have to finalize the list tomorrow. Probably the president would also help us in terms of summary. The summary that we have, in fact, the research, just check which ones have been left out, which may need to be loaded on top of the summary that we have. And therefore, those organizations that perhaps fall within the category that we have raised, so that as we do the planning of who is going to come on what day, the program and so on and so forth, we finalize that. But it would be important that as we go into those hearings, we ourselves, as I might just say, Honorable Monty, we almost have an understanding of what the Green Paper stands for and what it wants to achieve ourselves. It doesn't have to go and listen to people when you yourself are not even prepared, you don't know what you said on the matter. Not to say we're going to engage in us, but you can only engage if you know the subject matter and the content of what you're dealing with. So tomorrow we should expect to spend some time engaging amongst ourselves. Thirdly, if we can get an opportunity to get an input from this oversight module committee, it will help, because among others, you cannot talk about oversight of Parliament without looking into the implication of this
institution, and there is that this new animal in the president, this new institution that is being set up, what is the relationship with that? What is their understanding? Because they're also doing this work on behalf of parliament. At some point, we have to then say, this is how we're going to relate to this issue, honorable thing, in terms of our own proposal to parliament. How we see the role of parliament in the whole thing. So tomorrow we'll be dealing more with content issues than procedural matters. I think today we've ironed out and addressed those issues. There will be still one or two tricking issues, or tricking issues, that we need to tweak there and there.
Just as far as advising the institutions are concerned, we're under huge constraints, but we also need to know that they need to get a due notice.
Yeah.
We had it in previous hearings where they said, but you didn't give us enough notice. We've basically got a 5 or 6 that we can already start contacting, I think, tonight, if possible. Because we're going to have the hearings on Monday or Tuesday, start possibly Tuesday, Monday, and we've got to have to get flights. They've got to arrange their diaries to accommodate us. So I think that we need to let them know as quickly as possible, maybe tonight or at the latest tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Which
that
means
we're about Africa. It's now 7 o'clock tomorrow. So tomorrow is Thursday. We're going to give people notice for all after station
Monday,
Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere. Let's see. But I think we can do this oral submission in 2 days, if not 3.
One.
We've got
6.
Okay. No, that's fine.
One day.
You see, we must check at what time slot will be allocated here.
Oh, I understand.
No, it can't be, because, you see, as much as we are dedicated to our work here, practicalities of parliament, day-to-day progress, allows us at least a minimum, if not the maximum, of 2 to 3 hours in terms of our work a day. Unless we're going to say we're going to have a whole day, which we must still negotiate. Now, we should work on the basis that we can take 2 to 3 submissions a day. If we are going to also to engage and get the content and very interesting deliberations, so that people don't say you called us to parliament, we flew in there, you asked us 3 questions, in 30 minutes time you showed us the door. You know, we don't want to do those kind of things. We should give ourselves time on this matter.
Okay, we're pushing that then, because we've only got Monday, Tuesday, we've got 2 hours. I would suggest that we can sit a bit later in the evening. If we sit on Monday, we've got 2 to 5. Tuesday, we've got 3 to 5. Wednesday, 2 to 5. We should try to finalize it depending on availability on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
We could sit a little bit later in the evening. We don't have to sit till 5. We've got to do this quickly. We're under huge time constraints. We should have a preliminary report by Friday. We spoke about a preliminary report by Friday. So that's why I'm emphasizing this. Minimize the number of submissions, and you've got an hour for each submission, and you could sit for 3. At the moment, we've only allowed ourselves 2 hours. If we could sit a bit later, at least we are then unprepared to sit. We sat so many hours till 12 o'clock at night.
Oh,
but we don't need to do that. We've got hotel bookings for these people.
Yeah.
But we can sit a little bit later.
Yeah, can I say
we can arrange a nice supper?
No, if we are talking about public hearings, with time is a factor. Because if you are saying you can sit until late, I don't know, because I don't have the experience of how you work in parliament, whether you can have a public hearing after hours.
Yes. May I say that? So the idea of a public hearing is for us, not for the public. It's for the public to come and give us as MPs. And we've stated for 10
hours. No, with you, I don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the people that they're inviting after hours.
Well, I think that they will understand the urgency of the matter. And they would want to get back as quickly as possible.
You know, my worry is that I think
the minimum principles were agreed upon. Can you guys work on the matter? Finalize. I think the major thing that we're supposed to agree upon, we have agreed upon. It's always difficult to agree about 2 hours, 20 minutes in a meeting like this. I request that you guys move and present a program tomorrow. Actually, I'm supposed to present it tomorrow, written. This is what is happening with this day or whatever. You may fit in the will submitting, but just the process. I would request that we close.
I thought that is a very progressive proposal, in the sense that you need a proposal tomorrow in a meeting of how we're going to move forward. The details, leave it to us.
Good. Especially on Monday as well, because yesterday we said we want to put in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Just one last logistical arrangement for the secretariat. That some of, if we can't have public hearings here, it's too small. Others might want. If we can secure 249 or some other bigger premises, it might. So think about that as well. I know we got lock-up session next week. We got budget hearings and all that coming up, but yeah, try and organize suitable venues.
Let's leave that with you.
Yeah, no.
We'll find a way. This meeting stand again and
tomorrow is 29.
Can you take your information in terms of the president? Honorable members, can you take your
president?